to this article that they did on you in the Citizen, I think one of the things that you said was that it'll be a sad day when rugby goes professional.
Yeah, well, I think it is.
And now it's gone.
It's gone professional, and it's no pleasure. I mean, this the Merit League, it's too intense. You've got to stay up. And there's not the pleasure of watching a game and to enjoy the game for the quality of the football. No, and you see, all these players, they've all got cars supplied by the club. And some of them can't even get in the second team. No, I think it's a sad day that...
Well, I think it's the enjoyment has gone out of it at the top level.
Yes. And you see, the team travelled mainly by train because the coaches hadn't really developed. And we'd go down to place in Eshley and we would all travel together. They'd put on a saloon.
Ah.
And if necessary, they'd put on a lunch basket, which was always jolly good. And you'd travel down there together. You'd come back together. But after the war, you see, a coach can come back with about three people in it. The rest have come back by car or taken their cars, to away matches.
This is another thing that I've sort of identified as well, is that also when the club travelled by train, it gave a lot more opportunity for the officials of the club, for the committee men, to be involved with the players, to be fairly close to the players. And I particularly seem to have noticed that Arthur Hudson, Alcock, seemed to be quite close to the players. They would often talk with them and have conversations with them.
And
there was a certain amount of respect and mutual respect between them.
Oh, yes. You see, Arthur was a secretary and he had a lot to say in the selection of the teams. But Dr. Alcock, you see, any player got an injury, they go straight to him. And we had a club doctor. In those days, he was a bit, it was John Neal. He'd send anyone to the hospital to have a stitch put in. Well, then Tom Durkin took over, and he set up a marvellous MI room, sort of, for dealing with anything like cuts. He'd stitch it on the spot and the bloke would be back on the field. But, I think Dr. Alcock was lucky in that he was a doctor and therefore he was in contact with any player and most of them had bumps and bruises and he'd sort of see them and he had a lot of vast experience.
Because this seemed to me, particularly after the war, this seemed, around about the 60s and 70s, it seemed to be a bit of a problem, is it seemed to be that the players were doing more of their own thing and the committee were doing more of their own thing because the complexity of running a rugby club like Gloucester was now so much more. It almost seemed as if we've got two divisions or if like two
well,
sections.
Well, the players tended to take over, it became a sort of player power, as it were. And when I was chairman, I think you had much more contact with the players than afterwards. As president, you don't really... And didn't have a lot to do with the players, except on occasions. But, the players would want their own coach, separate, if they travelled to play Leicester, although they would probably go the night before, the players would have a coach for the players and the committee in charge, a full stop. That the rest would, if necessary, would have another coach for the travelling committee, which creates division between players and committee men. I can remember going down to Lydney, half the players had to stand because there were so many people on the coach, you know. We had to sort of restrict it to players and committee. Players used to bring their uncles and aunts, not their aunts, but in those days,